Which brings me back to Samuel. When you think about finances, you think about commercials, you think about perhaps this guy, and he has a famous catchphrase. And in this catchphrase, I want to build the premise of the teaching this morning, of the message of the sermon. And I wanted to do it in a way, and we're going to bring the kids back because this message is kid-oriented. It's meant to get their attention, and I hope it's going to get your attentions as well. By the way, we love kids. So if your kids are coming in and running around or whatever, you know, we are good with that. There's nurseries in the back. There's toddlers and infants, and feel free to leverage whatever you need to. But with that, we have Samuel. Oh, so what I'm gonna—I tweaked this message a little bit, you know, so it's church appropriate. This is what I came up with. Church one, what's in your closet? Church one, what's in your closet? So just in case you're confused, you're the church one. You're in church. You're the one in church. Doesn't matter where your background is, your belief system. Doesn't matter what church you normally go to today. You're the church one. And I'm asking you the question, what's in your closet? Now, I know with this question opens up all sorts of cans of worms. I can imagine that your mind is wondering what's going to follow here. And this is not a message about skeletons in your closet or even about your past or your history, but certainly is meant to invoke that type of thought. I want you to think about your past, your history. I want you to think about what's going down inside. I want you to think about what led you here to church today. I want you to think about how you get through life. And then I want you to think about now, what closet is that? So I have a picture of one. This is not my closet. My wife would love that. I think it's a male and female closet. At least I kind of hope so, but I'm not sure. I will tell you, if you're looking at this closet, they really like earth tones here, this family. Yeah, I like the pinks and the purples and, you know, and where's the football jersey? I don't know, but it's a beautiful closet. And there's all sorts of clothes that people put on, dress up, if you will. And, you know, physically, we do this all the time, right? We dress, regardless of how we feel, we usually dress to the occasion. We dress up. For work, we may put on a suit and tie. If you're going to a holiday, Thanksgiving, you may put on a nice, you know, vest or sweater. If you're a lady, you may put a dress or, you know, whatever you wear these days. And you may step it up for the occasion, regardless of how you feel. You know, wouldn't it be interesting if we always dressed how we felt? You know, I'd be wearing suits to every basketball or football game I go to, and in the morning, you know, probably wouldn't look so good. But we don't necessarily dress how we feel, and that is same as it applies to spiritually, and I'm going to get to that. But physically, I want you to think about clothing, because that's how life is. You see, there's more, in my view, taking place than is seen on the surface. That we often dress up to disguise, if you will, what's happening really deep down inside. You know, whether it's a uniform, which is the entire point of a uniform when you're wearing that for sports or for a job, you wear it to sort of blur the lines between who you are and what they want you to be in that moment in time. And so clothes matter. And, you know, in America, particularly those who are fashionable, you tend to dress up and look good so that you feel good. At least that's what Dion says. And you do this because you want to get past maybe how you really are feeling deep down inside. You know, it applies to church all the time. People come to church and they dress up. They wear suits, ties. They wear all sorts of things to church, thinking that if I wear a certain thing, I am going to be worthy enough, or I'm going to be good enough, or I'm going to at least appear that way. So I want you to think about that as you're thinking about your past. Because I have to argue, and I do believe, that there is more going on that's on the surface. Another way to say that is there's more than meets the eyes. There's always something else going on in someone's mind, in someone's life, than what you see on the outside, what they say and what they wear. Here's a prime example. I've used this example before, but I want to use it again. That's a beautiful picture. That's a picture that looks serene. It looks like maybe some beautiful water, maybe an island, maybe some clouds. It looks good. But for those of you who've seen this picture before, you know that's not the real picture. You know that there is something lurking much deep below the water. That's an iceberg. And it's a prime example that there is more than meets the eyes, that often it's pretty on top, but what's below can be pretty nefarious, pretty scary, pretty dangerous, needs to be dealt with. That's what I want to talk to you about today. that there's more happening than we often see. Now, I did a whole message about this, spiritual warfare, and I even talked about angels and the different angels in the Bible and the names of those angels. Did a whole series on that. If you're interested, or you'd like to listen to things while you're driving to work, we do podcasts here. So Kingsway, that's the name of our church, cc.org. You can log on to our website. You can listen to our podcast while you're driving. And you'll see those messages about angels. I wasn't able to finish this message, as Chris pointed out, because I wanted to give him an opportunity before he had a baby to do his sermon on stewardship. So I've waited this long to do this message. And I was trying to delay as much as possible for the kids to come back, but I'm going to get right into it, because we're working on time here. So if there's more than meets the eyes spiritually, then it'd be safe to say that you could argue that there's something else going on in the world than we physically see. Right? So you've seen movies about spiritual beings or about angels or about demons. Well, Christians, regardless of your denomination, believes that there are angels and demons and things happening in spiritual places. The Bible actually speaks about it as spiritual warfare. So I'm going to read it to you real quick. It says this in Ephesians chapter 6. It says, to put on the armor of God so you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood, but against evil rulers and authorities. Now, I could end right there. Many of you would say, yeah, of course we're fighting against evil rulers and authorities. I can think about them. But it says, of the unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world, and against evil spirits in heavenly places. Pardon me for a moment while I pray. Heavenly Father, I just pray that this word would get into our hearts and minds right now. Lord, I pray that you would prepare our minds, our hearts, to receive this mystery of yours. That where we walk and breathe and talk, that is not the sum net of this universe. That there is more to it. Just as there are stars and universe and planets that we cannot see, there are things taking place in the spiritual world that we cannot see. Bring it to light in Jesus' name. Amen. So it says that we fight not against flesh and blood, evil rulers and authorities of unseen, mighty powers in dark places. Some of you may say, that seems spooky, that seems mystical, but I know you believe it. How do I know? Because I can turn on CNN, I can turn on Fox, I can turn on any news radio station and see this. What do you mean? Well, you see, we can go take out a flesh and blood, we can go take out a person in any country that is a terrorist, and you can see the terrorism will not stop. There is something more at work. There is a philosophy, a power, if you will, that is at work, that infects, if you will, or that spreads from one to another. Regardless of what you think about our presidential candidates, if you like them or you don't like them, and our president-elect, if you like him or you don't like him, the reality is, even if you took him out, it's not solving the problem. It's not the flesh and the blood. There's something else at work. There's a principle. There's a power. There's something else that drives the people who don't like him crazy, and maybe the people that do like him. And So the point I'm trying to make is there's more in this world that we fight against than flesh and blood. Evil rulers and authorities in unseen places, mighty powers in dark world. What do I mean by that? Well, you can spend 5 minutes with anyone who's been addicted to anything and see that this is the case. Addicted to chemicals, addicted to images, addicted to people, addicted to fill in the blank. And you can see that they suffer. They struggle with something that is unseen, something that is even difficult to treat or even describe or talk about. Now, here's what I want to share before I get into the meat of it. This is the adult part before the kids get in. I just want you to hear this. I want to highlight just a few words here as I go through. It says, put on the whole armor of God. So clearly there's something that God is asking us to do, something spiritual, put on his armor. What is that all about? Now, why does he say that? He says, to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. The first question is, wouldn't you love to have a game plan against all strategies of the devil? That seems pretty good. For we fight not against flesh and blood, etc., etc. Verse 13, therefore put on every piece of God's armor so that you will be able to resist. It's a tempting world. It's a difficult world. It's difficult. There's constantly something getting your attention, something trying to influence you, something trying to pull and draw you. Resisting is part of our decision-making process. Our self-interest versus our family's interest versus the interest of the good. Are you capable of resisting when you need to? Be able to resist the enemy. Then after the battle, you will stand firm, standing your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body's armor of God's righteousness, shoes, put on the peace that comes with God. In addition to all these, hold up a shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Wouldn't you love protection over the fiery arrows of the devil? Now look, you can spend just a few short years on this planet and realize that there are fiery arrows being shot at you all the time. Do this, do that. This is better than that. Try this. This will make your life better. This person will make you happier. This experience is what you need. Constant fiery arrows. It may actually look something like this. So I like this picture. I didn't make it. It came from the internet. This is a picture of a man who has fiery arrows shooting at him. Now, there's shadows. There's something taking place in the shadows. There's something taking place in the spiritual realm, something bigger than where he's at today. And it shows him reading a book. You don't know what kind of book it is. He's just reading a book on the side. But what I like, I think is very interesting about this picture, and you guys all know what's interesting about this picture. What's the shadow look like? Sword and a shield, yeah. So he's got this armor in the shadows. In other words, it's showing that he's got this spiritual defense taking place against this spiritual attack. Because no matter where we are in life, our physical defense, our physical setup, our physical preparation of ourselves are not going to prepare us for spiritual attacks. And again, if you're not a Christian today, you know this. I can take you, I have 3 or 4 people in the hospital today from church. I can go and take you after church on Sunday, you can come with me and we can go talk to them. And you can realize that there is a struggle taking place, even though their life may have been great before they went in the hospital. And sometimes hearing the news and dealing with the difficulties in a hospital, it can be very difficult, and you wonder, how do people find the strength? How do they find the peace? It's not coming from the painkillers. It's not coming from the doctor's advice. How do they find it? Okay, so there's more happening than we often see. Satan is throwing fiery darts, and we fight not against flesh and blood. Okay, I got it. What do we do about it? The shadow. I'm going to zoom in on the shadow. And instead, I'm going to put the little icon here of a little guy wearing armor. This is a physical representation of what the Bible just said, those scriptures that I read. I'm going to read them again a little slower this time, and I'm going to go through one at a time and demonstrate to you the spiritual armor that we're talking about. So I'm going to zoom in on him. Here he is, the armor guy. He's got a bunch of pieces of armor, and I want to talk about each piece of them. Now, as I do that, I want you to think for a second, not about the physical things you put on. I want you to think about how you deal with these things in your mind, in your spirit, in your person, as days go on, as your life goes on. And to make sure I have your attention, I'm going to do something that I normally don't do in church. And quite possibly, I didn't Google this, but I'm pretty confident that I will be the only pastor that has ever done anything like this in a church service. So welcome to all the friends and family that are here today. I'm actually not crazy. I am a licensed minister, and I do know the Word of God, so bear with me as we try to tell the story to the kids. But you know, I need to make sure I get your attention, so I am going to get your attention. At least I hope so. Okay, let's start with this. Let's start with the first one. So the Bible says, I'm going to read it really, really carefully. The first thing you put on is the belt of truth. Okay, so the old scripture says, gird your loins with truth. Your loins, gird with truth. So what is this all about? This means that in the times that there were battles back then, when you needed to wear this type of armor, you needed to put on a belt, and it protected, you know, your groin area. And this belt, what it did is, it was really important. So number one, it signified that you were ready, because the only time you took off your belt was bedtime. So anytime you had the belt on, you were ready. You came out of your room and you were ready. Your weaponry, swords and knives and things, they plugged into the belt. It was your foundation of ready to go. And it wrapped around you. It surrounded you. So it protected you. The Bible says that we need to do this to protect us from the lies and deceit that's going around the world. The lies and deceit. Well, what lies and deceit do you have today? What are we talking about? Am I just talking about other religions? Am I talking about false doctrines? Maybe. But I think there's bigger lies going on. You know, the lies that are happening at work, the ones that are telling you you're not good enough. You don't deserve this job. You shouldn't get promoted because of X, Y, and Z. Or the lies taking place at home. You don't do enough. You're not good enough. You're not doing what so-and-so is doing. Or the lies that take place in your mind. I'm stupid. I am pathetic. I fill in the blank. These lies are happening all around America, every day, everywhere. And the Bible is saying, how can we protect ourselves from these lies? It's saying to put on the belt of truth. Now, I say that the belt of truth here, I'm going to do it in a little more contemporary fashion, because I don't believe that Jesus would want us to wear this armor and walk around like this. So I have my travel bag here, and in this travel bag, I got all sorts of things. And I am going to, let's see what I got here. I think I know what we would do today. We would do something like this, right? This looks more like what I see happening around the world today. This is a really cool, really cool. I got this from the Earps. This is a really cool cross. I want to put that cross on. You see people wear these crosses around their necks, or they may put these, you know, these nice little bands on their arm. You know, you see this all the time. You know, Cam Newton's got a whole bunch of them. You put these bands on your arm to remind yourself of the truth, to remind yourself that there's something bigger in this world than the lies around you, to remind yourself that when things in this world are going really wrong, that there's something else you can rely on. You may also see it, people put tattoos all over the body. Sometimes they put crosses or even Bible verses to remind themselves of the life that they lived and the things they've been through. God is asking us to loin ourselves, to put something around us, to surround ourselves with truth. The question today is, what is your truth? What is it that you depend on? Is it your money? Your job? Is it people? Is it your routine that you go through every day? Maybe it's medicine, chemicals. The point is that Jesus Christ has a truth for you that is far more stable, far more dependable, and far more awesome than anything this world has to offer. Here's the cross, right? You see people wear these giant crosses. I'm going to wear mine. Mine's not gold. Mine is actually made out of, like, nails. I think that's pretty cool. Okay. So that's the truth one. The next one says, what does it say here? It says, and body armor of God's righteousness. So we need to put body armor on. So I was thinking about this, putting on body armor and righteousness. So, you know, in the image, it looks like this. Here we go. Breastplate of righteousness. So it meant to cover your vital organs. Why do you need to cover your vital organs? Well, that's a good way to die if you don't cover these. Now, it's not the fastest way to die if you get punctured. There's a faster way you can die. But this is a way that, you know, will bring at least slow death to you if you puncture one of these organs. And so you had to protect your torso, your bodily organs. You had to protect this. And I don't believe that this core protection, if you will, God would want us to be wearing these breastplates to work like this, right? We would look a little funny. So what is he referring to when he mentions righteousness? Righteousness is a big church word, and it gets twisted all the time. So I want you to translate it as behaviors. I want you to think about your behaviors. I want you to think about the decisions you make. Why do you make them? What are your intentions? What compels you to make the decision that you're making? Because if you're making decisions that are in line with God's word, if you're making decisions that he's calling us to, if you're obeying him, then you can begin to understand his righteousness. But even if you do all those things, even if you understand the whole Bible better than me, and you do everything in it, will you be righteous? Church people think so. The Bible says truly not. It says truly not. So, breastplate of righteousness. I thought about this. This is where we get a little risque. I thought about this. In order to put the breastplate of righteousness, I got to take off this veneer, right? I got to take off this shirt, you know, this fancy stuff that we all wear to make everybody feel like we got everything together, right? Because in reality, we don't have everything together. In reality, we look and we are a mess on the inside. In reality. Now, this is an undershirt. The Bible says, Lance, what does the Bible say? Do you remember what the Bible says about our righteousness? That's right. Lance said, our righteousness represents our sins, and it is as filthy rags. No matter how good you think you are, no matter even if you do things that you think are good, if you do them in your own, if you do them for your own glory, for your own benefit, if you do them even to be good to one another, that is righteousness that is like filthy rags. Now, this particular shirt is filthy. It's not actually dirt or blood. It's Nutella and strawberries, but I thought it was pretty cool. Lance helped. But here's the thing, and this is why I love Chris. If you spend any time with Chris and he's not in church wearing a tie, if he's not, he's teaching you about righteousness because he knows that we can't make all the right decisions. He knows that we can't say all the right words, and so he does this, and I love it, and so I'm going to do it today. He does this. I got something here in my bag. He takes out one of these. Now, this is what I believe, you know, physically God means when he says put on the breastplate of righteousness. This is a red shirt. Do you know how we cover up our righteousness? Do you know we cover up our filthy rags, how we cover up our good deeds? Now we cover it up so that it can be worthy, so that it can be worth something, that God can actually honor it? You know how we do that? We do that with the blood of Jesus. Now, I'm not saying wear a shirt that's bloody. What I'm saying is, here's this cool shirt that Chris gave me. You take your filthy rags and you cover it with his blood. And you tell yourself that Jesus Christ is in me and all things work together for good for those who love God and are according to his purpose. So here it is. Here it is. What does it say, Chris? It says, this is a picture. It says, Satan is bad, Jesus is good. Be like Jesus. I don't know. This is one of Chris's shirts. He's got a whole stack of these shirts. He wears them all the time. I think they're awesome. And so I wanted to wear this one to bring up the point. The point is, what about you? How do you get through the day? How do you feel like you're making your decisions the right way? Is it because you have intentions and you are trying to have some sort of self-interest? How do you make decisions and how do you make sure they're benefiting the world around you, your family, yourself? Is it by providing for them? Is it by doing what you think is right? How do you do that? What standard do you use? Do you use your neighbor? Do you use your guy at work? Do you use some guy on Facebook? How do you use it? Because we believe that you need to be born again. We believe that Christ has to wash his blood on you, spiritually speaking, and allow you to have freedom to say that you may not get it right every day. And when you don't, he's there to help you. All right, let's keep going. I got to speed up a little bit here because I'm running out of time and I get excited. What is the next one? Ooh. Feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. This says feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Well, the feet were really important back then because the armies had to march a long way and they didn't have shoes. And so when you don't have shoes, you march a long way, you didn't make it very far. So a lot of the army would just sort of pass out in the process. So the nice armies, the Roman armies, they would have these nice shoes so they could get far distances. And back then, they didn't have pants, really. And so they wore these things on their legs that looked like shin guards that were part of their feet, part of their shoes. And so it's really important to wear this. It allowed you to go the distance. And so I ask you today, what allows you to go the distance? How do you get through your day? Because the word says it's through peace. That's how we go the distance. And it says the peace comes through the gospel and sharing the gospel. First with yourself, like reading it and knowing what the gospel means. The gospel is, you know, Jesus dying for you. It also means peace, just real clear, not going on the attack. You know, it's like when your brother and sister does something wrong and you immediately... I mean, my three-year-old does it, right? My three-year-old, when Maddie looks at him the wrong way, he smacks her. Now! You're going to take something from me. It's going on the attack. That's not peaceful. That's not peaceful. Constantly going on the attack when life comes hard on us, when it comes down on us, when things don't go right, do we constantly go on the offensive? Do we constantly say, I'm going to stand my ground and I'm going to do it with my words and I'm going to do it with my attitude and I'm going to make sure they back off me? That's not peace. That's not the gospel. The gospel says come in peace. So spiritually it says to use this feet that are shod with this. Here's my idea. And no, I'm not taking off my pants. I considered it until my wife told me that was a bad idea. But I'm thinking about what could I possibly put on that would show you that I mean peace. Well, I don't know. Sweatpants Sunday? Yeah. These are some pajama pants that I have. Nothing says calm and casual like some PJs, in my opinion. And here's some slippers. Okay. So now when you put this on and somebody comes to your door and they want to come at you and they want to say, and you're wearing this, you know, immediately they know that you come in peace. You're relaxed. You ain't going on the offensive. You're not attacking with the soft, squishy slippers. Now, these are those cool slippers, right? They're the ones with the, you know, the little treads on the bottom so that I can go outside. I can wear these anywhere. I've worn these slippers to 7-Eleven or Walmart before, right? Lots of people do, apparently. So you can wear this. Spiritually speaking, I want to ask you this. Where is your ground? What do you truly stand on? Where does your grounding come from? What calms you down for the long haul? What do you go to when you're really frustrated, really unrelaxed? What do you use? Because the scripture says we're supposed to use the peace of Jesus Christ. I gotta keep going. Here's one of my favorite ones here. What's the next one, Lance? Was it the shield of faith? So, the shield of faith. Now, this one's important. It says it because it protects you from all the fiery arrows of the devil. You need something to protect you from all of the attacks that are coming on, right? Something that you can use that is a point that you can use to point to the opposition, something that you can use to protect yourself, something that you can aim that won't be penetrated. And why do we need this? The shield was something you could put into action, right? The shield was something you could maneuver. You could go around. And when you carried it, people knew that, I kind of think about it as they knew you meant business. If you're walking out in your armor and you're going to like a dinner or something, you know, they're like, okay, we honor you. But if you brought your shield, you bring your shield out there like Goliath did, right? You mean business. Now, you see, I find it interesting because David, right, he couldn't fit all the armor on, and I'm going to get back to that. But Goliath, he didn't carry it. So here's my conjecture. At work, right, we call battle armor. We put on our suit and go into a client meeting. We know we mean business when you put the jacket on, right? Yeah, exactly. How do I look? I look good, right? I mean business. Your shield of faith. You got to have something that reminds you you mean business. And the Bible tells you it's your faith. Your faith is the thing that you put into action when things are going horribly wrong, when things aren't working right in your mind, in your life, in your finances, in your emotions, in your children. Faith is the thing you land on. It has to be your go-to, the Bible says. What's your go-to when things are that tough? What can you use to put into action? Spiritually, I think it's like a jacket that you put on to protect yourself. What do I have left? I got some left here. Helmet of salvation. Helmet of salvation. So what does the word say here? It says, in addition to these, hold up the shield of faith to stop fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet. This one is good. This one's one of my favorite. Now, what do people generally think of? Why would you even need to have a helmet? Well, helmets are important. Helmets protected your brain, your mind. You see, this was the fastest way to die. Get an arrow in your head, you're done. Get a rock in your forehead, apparently you're done. The hubris of Mr. Goliath, the ego of Mr. Goliath, he took off his helmet so that he could see the little guy, and that's when the rock hit him in the head. Your helmet's important. You need something to protect your mind and your eyes. I view it as a lens to which you see and think about things. What lens do you use to see and interpret the things that are happening in your life? Do you use the lens of anger? Do you use the lens of sarcasm, of condemnation, of condescension? What lens do you use? So how can I represent this physically? Well, it's a helmet, right? So I could wear a helmet, but then I won't be able to preach. So I have one here. Me and my son, we made this last night. So you cannot buy this. There's one of a kind. Yeah, Jesus hat. I may sport this thing all day today just because I think it's cool. Good job, Lance. He helped me with my Jesus hat. You can get one of these at AC Moore with a little bit of felt pen and crank it out. So this is the helmet of salvation, putting on something on you that protects your mind. Well, what's protecting your mind? Jesus is protecting your mind. Jesus is protecting your mind. You got to have something to say, wait a minute, how can I line up what I'm thinking with some type of standard? Or maybe not just what I'm thinking. How can I line up what I am seeing? Here's another way to do it. With glasses. Spiritual glasses, of course. Yeah, you like these, right? Yeah, I took them from my son. Now, these are not prescription glasses. At least I hope not, or I will probably pass out in the next 2 minutes before service is over. And just bear with me, because we're almost done here. Which way do you have your perspective being interpreted in your life? Because I believe most of us, at least if you're not a church person, or even if you are a church person, you probably are looking through the lens of TV, of Facebook, of your best friend, of public opinion, Or maybe it's brainwashing from mom and dad. And the Bible is saying, no, 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 the lens is so basic. Chris tells me all the time, the lens is salvation. Jesus Christ died for you. He died for you. And that should change everything. Do you realize no matter how bad life gets, if you die today, even if it is ill-fated, you are in heaven. If the world comes against you today, well, they came against Jesus. Why would you expect any different? If you're sick and beat down today, well, they beat down Jesus. And by his stripes, we are healed. Salvation. If you're thinking I'm not doing enough for my wife or I'm not doing enough for my husband, Jesus said to love them as I love the church. Give your life down for them. It's salvation. Everything we view should be through the lens of salvation to protect our mind, to protect our eyes. What are we looking at on TV, on the computer, on our devices? What are we hearing and seeing at work and when we go out? And all these things I'm wearing now, these are defensive, and they're meant to be defensive. How do we protect ourselves? The Bible says that we need these five things as defense and this one thing as offense. Do you know what the one thing is? Sword of the Spirit. Sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, the Scripture says. So what is the Sword of the Spirit? It's pretty simple. It's the Bible. This is it. If we're going to go on the attack, this is what we use. It doesn't mean actually beat people up the head with it, you know, literally or figuratively. You know, don't start jamming scriptures down people's throats. What this means, this is so important. There are so many ways to have the Word of God speak to you and speak to those around you. Again, I've seen all sorts of ways. Memorizing scripture and knowing scripture is a great way to do it. You know, I've seen people, again, with tattoos or shirts that have scripture on it. By the way, this is probably your best sword. You know, for those of you who say don't have a Bible, if you have a phone, pretty much every phone, I mean, even Chris, who's had a smartphone, I mean, has a flip phone for the last 25 years, he just got one of these and it has a Bible app on it. A Bible app. Open it up, read it. It is your weapon. There's a verse of the day on there. There are so many scriptures in there that are going to help you get through this world. Try it. You know, the Hebrew people, if you've seen it, the Jewish people, they wear these tassels that hang from their clothes, look like threads. They look like fringes. They hang down. Do you know the purpose of those fringes? You know what they are? They're to remind them of who God is. They remind him of scripture. We need scripture in our life. The point to you guys is, for those of you who don't quite get what I'm saying, words matter. When you come at somebody, you're coming at them with words from your perspective, given your background, and you may be hurtful and unintentional, and you may actually do things unintended with your words. They matter. And if you don't know the right words to say in the right situation, if you don't know the right things to think in the right situations, look to the Bible, because the words are there. Yeah, I got to point this out, just by the way. Do you know that there were... What did I record? 5,680 years of documented human history, something like that. And of the 5,680 documented years of human history, do you know how many of those years were actually at peace? 300, give or take. 300 years in human history, we've been worldwide at peace. We need to get ready for war. Spiritually, all the time. Okay, I'm going to finish with this. I have one last thing to say. So this is the full armor of God, and I want you to think about it spiritually. Hopefully this, you know, your mental image of what's going on in you spiritually. What I want to do is remind you that this is the wardrobe. Isn't that crazy how we call it that? Wardrobe? Somebody got it, right? Wardrobe. So it has the word war in it. How we dress and how we prepare ourselves for war. Is your closet, is your wardrobe ready for war? Spiritually speaking, do you have the tools to be equipped with everything this world is sending at us? Do you? The scripture gives us these six things we can do to prepare ourselves for the world. But it finishes with this thought here, and I wanted to share it with you. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And then in verse 18, it says this: pray in the Spirit at all times on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Pray for me and ask God to give the right words. Where is this warfare taking place? This warfare should be taking place in your prayer. Go to God and tell him exactly how you feel. Pray the angry prayers. God, I am mad. I am upset. I don't understand this. It doesn't mean he's going to necessarily share the mysteries of the universe with you in that one moment, but it will humble yourself before a holy God who will honor that humbleness with his love, with his grace and his mercy. You don't need the right words. You don't even need to say it the right way. You just need to go with him with the intentions of saying, God, I look to you for my path. I look to you for direction. I look to you for help. And if in any situation there's a blessing in your life, something good happens, the Bible says all good gifts come from God. That's why we say God is good. If that does happen, then give him glory and honor and thank him for it. Oh, Jesus, thank you. Thank you for this life. Thank you for this breath. Thank you for what you've done in my life. Thank you for what you've done in my family, with my children. Thank you for this baby. This is where the warfare happens. This is where you tell Satan, game on.